I don't know if y'all heard this morning when I was talking to the kids about what does your father do most for you? And the two main things that I got was love and help. Isn't that amazing? All the kids that we have here, and that was the majority of the things that we got, love and help. And speaking of love and help, those of you who were not here Wednesday night missed a treat. Matthew Kirkland brought us the word on Wednesday night, and he did real good. I was proud of him. He smiled at you, and that's what you got to do to the people you're talking to, is smile at them. You can't just up there, I'm lecturing you, so listen. People just don't look at that. But he was up there, and he was himself, just like he had done it 1,000 times already. And Matthew, I'm proud of you. First time he spoke in public. Well, we're going to do something a little different this morning. Once I get started into the sermon, we're going to get through the introduction of the sermon and the main scripture that we're going to read, and then we're going to stop and do something else. Then we're going to come back and finish the sermon. But first, we're going to start off with, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
It is my ruling guide.
It is my ruling guide.
To my daily living.
To my daily living.
I will read it.
I will read it.
I will study it.
I will study it.
And I will use it.
And I will use it.
That I might gain wisdom.
That I might gain wisdom.
Through my obedience.
Through my obedience.
To his commands.
To his commands.
Which will lead me.
Which will lead me.
To eternal life.
To eternal life.
With him.
With
him. What a blessing. Well, y'all probably thought that the Bible reading this morning was maybe a little bit long, but I want to tell you, there's nothing you can read in the Bible that's too long. And Donald, I appreciate you reading my text for Sunday mornings, or a companion text that goes with it. This morning he did read the text for this service. So, today is Father's Day. It's a special day to thank God for those who meant so much to us as a father figure or a father. The memory of our fathers should warm our hearts and cheer us up. This morning we're going to be talking about Job. And the first verse of Job 1:1 is going to be our focus point this morning. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now we're going to stop. Ushers, could y'all come forward, please? First of all, let me have the honor of presenting to you this from the church for Father's Day. There's nothing in there, but it's a nice cardboard wrapper.
That's good.
But have all the fathers stand. Once you get your gift from the church, feel free to have a seat. Playing with what you got during the service. You can play with it when you get home. All right, let's have a hand for our fathers. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Tom. Appreciate it. Now we'll go on. Now I'm going to read verse 1 again. Therefore was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So that brings us to Father's Day, because I know of no other or another good example of what a father was in biblical times. Job lived in the past, but his faith was anchored in God. He was true to God in spite of his losses. We know the story of Job. In spite of his suffering, he stayed true to God. In spite of his wife, he stayed true to God. In spite of his friends, he stayed true to God. If God was looking for a model father, who would he have chosen at that time? I think as we read verse 1, we can understand why God would have chosen Job as a model father. You see, Job had the right attitude toward God. He feared God with a holy reverence. Went to a man's house to eat lunch one day, years ago. Walked up to the door, knocked on the door. He came to the door. And when he opened it, his whole living room was set up as a worship center. As I stepped in, he had a mat there for me to step on and told me, remove your shoes, you're on holy ground. That's reverence. That is reverence. That you're on holy ground. And sometimes I think of Job and I think of the things that happened to him, and I believe that he was such a godly man, no matter where he walked on holy ground. Because every time he took a step, God placed his foot there. I believe that. He trusted God. Remember his words, though he slay me, he still had reverence for God. He still believed that God would bring him through whatever he faced on this earth. We as fathers should know that today. There are problems in our world today that weren't there when I was growing up. But God can teach you how to deal with them. So God is there for us, but we must be there for God. You see, he worshiped God earnestly. When he bowed his head to pray and got on his knees, he was earnest in what he was doing. When he walked up to someone and said, God bless you, he was earnest in saying, God bless you. He was earnest in everything that he did as a father. But you know what was great about Job? He prayed frequently. That's how we as fathers need to do. Lord, bless my son Zach while he's out on the highways. Bless my son Zach while he's with his friends. Bless him, Lord, as he leaves our house to go to his friend's house. We need to do that with our kids. Lord, bless them while they're at school. Lord, let them realize that you are God over all. And teach them what the Bible teaches about creation and about a man and a woman.
Amen.
Fathers need to do their job. They need to step up, not step out.
Right.
When, my oldest son's adopted. And when I found out that they were placing a disabled child with me, a child that first time I saw his picture, I said, that's my boy. But it was time for Ken to to step away from the world he was in and step up as a godly father. My money could be spent better elsewhere than it could be on my beard. That was the feeling that I had. And so I said, Lord, take my desire for this drink away. You know what he did?
Amen.
I quit after making that decision. But when I prayed to God, I prayed earnestly. Not just for me, but for this child that was coming to live with me. This child that was being born, so to speak, into my family. And God blessed him. And God blessed me. You see, Job had the right attitude towards sin. The Bible says he eschewed it, which means he avoided or shunned evil or sin. He resisted or abstained from every appearance of sin. I often wonder, and this has happened recently in the Southern Baptist Convention, that when the pastor of the church goes into the liquor store to buy a bottle of wine to use for communion. Now, I'm not saying if that's the way they believe, all right, have at it. I can't change the way you believe, but I can tell you what the Bible says. Bible says, do not be drunk with wine. Well, I figure that includes beer or whiskey or anything nowadays. But you have a pastor of a Southern Baptist church that's going to the liquor store buying wine because, you know, Southern Baptists don't even say the word wine, because if you do, you're going to hell. It's really weird the way they believe. There's something wrong with them folks. But the Southern Baptist believes in no alcohol at all. But when a pastor introduces it into the church, people get the wrong idea on that guy, don't they? But you know how other churches and how other people believe? I can't change that. All I can tell you is what the Bible tells me.
Amen.
The Bible's the final word, not Ken. So, we as fathers have to eschew sin and evil. Teach your children to avoid the evil pitfalls of this world. And for most of us in here, teach your grandchildren the same thing.
Amen.
So we look at our world today and I wonder how people, some of the finest people I knew, got to be where they are. It's because they turned their back on doing the things that Job did. And they are where they are because of the world, not because of God. So Job resisted and abstained from every appearance of sin. He knew what sin could do to him and to his family. He knew where to go for help to overcome sin. The only place I know to go for help to overcome sin is to God. To God. And our lesson said that he was earnest about things that he did in God's name. So it's important that we as fathers remember it's not just us teaching our children. God's teaching them through us. Through us. So it's our responsibility as fathers to stand up and do what a father should do. Not allow that child just to go toward the world and not say anything. We have a job to do. Job had the right attitude toward his family. He must have realized that his children were gifts from God. You think so? I think every child's a gift from God.
Yes. Amen.
I think that every child that's born should have an opportunity of parents that are Christian people. I'm not saying that they need to switch parents. I'm saying the parents need to switch their attitude.
Right.
So I believe that every child is a blessing from God. Every child brings their own unique problems to father, to their father and to their mother. Because what may be unique to one may not be the other. My son is quiet. Brother Walt's been around him. He can tell you he's quiet. He doesn't have much to say. Billy knows him quite well. Ken Lamb knows him. He's quiet. You never know he was there unless you ask him a question every once in a while. My daughter was born in 1986. So that makes her literally years old. See, my memory's going. Y'all said that 98, 91. And she's been in her terrible twos for so many years now. I don't know if she's ever going to get out of it. But God, I love it when Paula says that in her text messages. But God had a better plan. God said, "You be my example on earth, and I'll teach through you." Fathers have to have a right attitude toward their family. Job felt he had an obligation to his family. And every father has an obligation. And that obligation is to teach by example those around him. Some of y'all weren't here. I think it was the first Sunday, or first Father's Day that I preached here. Every one of these children that are in this congregation this morning, each man here is a father figure to each child here. You may not act like a Christian, and they're going to notice that you're something different. But as a father, as a man of the church, you're a father figure to all children. It's like our youngest son got me a Father's Day present last year. Some of y'all have seen it, some of you haven't. The deal on it says, "This is not a man bod. It's a father figure." It's a father figure. We're all father figures to the children of the church. So it's our obligation to teach by example, to teach by word, if you can. Job knew that he would answer to God if he failed to set a good enough example for them. My job as a father is to set an example for my children. And I tell you, sometimes my example is not the best in the world. But they're watching me. They're watching each man here to see what kind of an example that they set. I mean, can you imagine going home with your kids and one of them says, "Did you see what Brother Billy did this morning?" Of course, your answer to me, "No, what?" And then they tell you what they observed. Well, you know, we may have saw the same thing, but we don't see it through the eyes of children. So we have to be ready as fathers to set that fatherly example at all times, at all places, any hours of the day. We have to be a father figure. Job had the right attitude toward his possessions. How many of you own a car? How many of you have two cars? How many of you own a house? How many of you own a house full of furniture? How many of you own a house full of guitars? How many of you own a house full of guns? Well, I got that too. You know what? We when you leave this earth, they're all staying here. So why build your mansion on earth when you've got a mansion already that's going to be there forever?
Amen.
So we as fathers have to set that example that all these worldly things don't matter. You know, I can't get in my new Rolls Royce and drive down the road looking at you going, I bet you ain't got one of these. And I bet you ain't going to get one of these either. Is that an attitude? Yeah, it's an attitude, but it's the wrong type, isn't it? You know, I look at vehicles this way. Yes, I have a choice on makes and models, but that vehicle's not going to take me anywhere but point A to point B and back to point A on earth. It's not going to do anything for me in heaven. And neither is anything else that we own. All those guitars in the closet at home, not going to do a thing for me in heaven.
Sale.
They're just going to make Belinda rich when she gets rid of them. See, she's already looking at the worldly things. How many dollars can I get out of that? It's shopping time. But we have to realize that the things of this world are temporary. And to not let things of this world come between the things in our eternal world, because we as a father have to set the example. I may be here on this earth, I may be here as a person, but I'm a stranger in a foreign land. I've got a home I'm going to, and I'm going to see my kids too when they come. That's the attitude of a father. That's the attitude. We need to realize that we are the example to our children. So don't let things come between you and the eternal treasure that God has stored up for you. You see, Job did not try to use his wealth as a substitute for worship. Well, I've got enough money to do me till next Monday, so I'm not going to go to church tomorrow. If I go to church, they're just going to want my 10%, and that ain't going to happen. Is that the right attitude to have? No. The Lord blessed me with enough money to get through next Monday. I'm going to church on Sunday and give Him what's His and do what I'm supposed to do as a father. Set an example. Be the man that God created me to be. Job had the right attitude towards suffering. He did not charge God foolishly for losing his family, losing all of his worldly possessions. He exercised patience. God will give you a patience this long. If I did this, I'd be measuring it this way. I have no idea how long it is, but God gives us patience this long if we work through Him. My worldly patience is about like that. Yeah. Especially in the Walmart line. Now, God has helped me to increase my patience. And the reason I say helped me is because it's still up to me whether I get impatient or not. I have to make the decision that God's given me patience to let this work out. So let's accept what He's given me and run with it. Do what we have to do. He knew that suffering could be used of God to refine gold. How many of you have watched Gold Rush on TV? They got that pan of gold that's about this big around, or maybe this big, but it's a pan of gold, and it's stacked way high, and they take it to have it refined, and all they get back is one little bar, about like, you know, after they burn off all the sluts, what do they call it? Slag? What do they call it? Huh?
Slag.
Yeah, what you said, slag. I knew it wasn't a slug, but slag didn't come to me. But After it's refined, you have a pure bar of gold. As a father, if you go to God and you ask Him to help you to be the man He created you to be, help you to be the dad He created you to be, He's going to refine you. Now, we won't be completely refined until we get to heaven. But He starts us here. He starts us on this earth. Because I guarantee you that as a Christian, if you can live on this earth, you're going to have easy street in heaven. Why? God is supplying it all. At no cost to you. God gives it all. He proved to everyone, to his wife and to his friends. He proved to us, as we read about it in this book, He proved that God's grace is sufficient for whatever your suffering might be. So this morning, if you have something going on that is really bothersome to you, give it to God. Give it to God. Let His grace handle it. Because His grace is sufficient for any need that we might have as a man, as a father, or as a husband. He is sufficient to give us that grace. You see, God, as He mentioned Job to Satan, could have said, "Give me a man. Give me a man. Give me a man who's not ashamed to kneel. Give me a man who's not afraid to stand. Give me a man who loves God. Give me a man who loves the church. And give me a man who loves his family." Well, that just kind of says it, doesn't it? That tells us exactly what Job 1:1 had to say. This was not the man that Satan wanted to see. He wanted a man who in the bad times would not kneel. He wanted a man who in the bad times he would not stand up. He wanted a man who would reject God, the church, and cared little for his family. That's the kind of man Satan was looking for. It just amazes me as you go through the book of Job, and everybody told and said, "Just hush and blame God. Quit your belly aching and blame God for it." But God didn't do it. God continued to bless Job. He continued to bless the man who was willing to kneel, who was willing to stand, who was willing to support his family and his church and his friends. So this morning I'll ask you, which one are you? Do your children or grandchildren see the father who's not ashamed to kneel? Do they see the father who's not ashamed to stand? A father who loves God, who loves the church, and loves his family? Or do they see the man who in the bad times will not kneel and will not stand up, who rejects God, rejects the church, and cares little for his family? So I know most of you men in here pretty well. But if God is dealing with your heart, it's time to make it right with Him. If you want to be the man of God for your family and your church, you must set the example and you must come to God. Let Him change you. So this morning, after I pray, we're going to have our invitation time. And this morning, I would like to have, I know we've had the men of the church already up here, but I'd like to have every father, every man of the church, to come on up here and stand up here and face me. Just come on up here. Every father and every man of the church. As soon as we get through with the prayer. Well, no, let's come before the prayer. Otherwise, I've got to pray twice, and I don't know if I can stand up that long, that much longer. Just have all the fathers come down here to the front. If you have a problem standing, feel free to sit down on one of the pews.
All the men, you can come.
Yeah, you need to set an example for these kids in the church.
Are you a man?
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you that we, as the fathers of this church, stand before you this morning, asking, Lord, for you to set the example that we need in our heart, that we might be the men of God that you created us to be. That we might do the things that you would have us to do. And I just pray, Lord, now that these men will leave this place and their heart is right with you and they know their duties as a father. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If any of y'all would like to kneel and pray, that's fine. If you don't, you can go ahead and go back to your seats. But I wanted to pray for each one of y'all this morning. So that was what this prayer was for. It was for each one of you as a father. So I want to tell you, each one of you, I love you. And y'all are examples to me on how to be a godly man. And I appreciate each and every one of you and what you do for this church, for the children of this church, and for me personally as your pastor. I thank you. So if y'all would like to be seated, you can. If you want to stay up here and pray, you can. Whatever y'all want to do. So anyone that might have a need this morning, that I could help you with, I ask you to come.